desire everyone's prayers this morning. Glad to see those back from Monarch and everyone that can make it out. This morning I have a thought that the Lord's given me on fig trees. There's two stories that he talked about on fig trees. One of them was a parable. One of them was an actual interaction with a fig tree. And I'd like for us to, this morning, to take a moment and actually look at these for a minute. The first one was a parable he shared early in on the start of his ministry on earth, and it's found in Luke chapter 13 in verses 6 through 9. And he, Jesus, spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So here we see Jesus talking about a barren fig tree. Now, from what we can kind of gather, there are some assumptions I'm making here. It appears that this tree had been planted about 3 years, because the man said, I've come up to it these past 3 years, I've not found fruit. And, you know, it's not doing what I planted it for. It's wasting the ground it's in. Cut it down. Now, doing some research, according to LSU's agricultural website, fig trees ordinarily will not produce a good crop of fruit until the third or fourth year. And I found it interesting because here the man is coming up. It's the third year. He, by all reasonable expectations, should be seeing some fruit from his crop. And he hadn't. And so he talked to the dresser about it. Now the dresser, on the other hand, being probably more familiar with the plants, as you know, some trees take 4 years. Give me some time. Let me continue to work with it this year. And then next year, if on the fourth year it hasn't produced, then we'll cut it down. But what I got to thinking about, what is this parable talking about? Is it just talking about how we should handle fruit trees? Or is it talking about us, our lives? We get saved. We get sanctified. The Lord starts working with us. Do you know comes a time where the Lord's going to be like, you know, it's been long enough. I should be seeing some fruit here. I'm going to go check on it. Have we ever thought about the fact that the Lord's looking at our lives and there comes a point that He's going to expect you to have fruit? I read about a man in Australia. Now, he's a fig farmer, and he has a website where he shares thoughts about the Lord, but also some of his experience farming figs. And he talked about how he got into fig farming. He had gone to visit his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law had shared him what they call a Genoan fig. He said it was big, about the size of a mug, big old fig, just delicious. He had property. He came home and he decided, you know, I really enjoyed that fig. I have property. Fig trees are supposed to grow well. They produce, you know, pretty much, you know, he's heard people say under every leaf there should be a fig. So he's doing some math in his head. And he goes, you know, I could plant 1,000 trees on my property. Each tree should produce about 500 fruit. And if I could sell that fruit for 50 cents each, that's $250,000 a year. That's a pretty good thing. And even if I only got half of that, $125,000 a year, I think I'm going to become a fig tree farmer or fig farmer. So he did. He found some cuttings, and he went and he planted 1,000 fig trees. The cuttings grew well. He put them in the ground. They took off. Of course, first year he didn't get any fruit, but he was encouraged, and so he talked to the people, he talked to the agricultural department, talked to some other fig farmers in the area, talked to a professor at a university he knew. And they said, yeah, first year you're probably not getting fruit. But he was so pleased with how well the fig trees was doing, he planted another 1,000. And so the second year comes around, and he goes looking for fruit. No fruit. Not even the size of a pinhead. He can't find any fruit on these trees. But there was one tree that had started producing fruit. And he kind of noted it was a different variety than the others. So he went back to the people that were his advisors, and he talked to them, and he's like, you know, it's been 2 years, not getting much fruit, not getting any from a lot of the trees. So they gave him some advice and said, well, you know, how are you doing things? And finally they settled on, well, it was probably the way he was watering them. He was potentially overwatering them. He needed to cut back the water, stress the trees a bit. They would produce fruit. So it goes into the third year. Now, some of the fruit trees started bearing fruit, but real sparingly. And, you know, he's like, I can't understand it. The trees are just beautiful, but they're just not growing fruit. And one of the other farmers in the area told him, said, look, give it one more year. So he decided he would. So at the end of the fourth year, he sits down and he looks at what's going on. So of the original 1,000 trees he had planted, some of them had only produced 10 to 20% of what he expected. Many hadn't even produced a single fig in that 4 years of time. He was talking to that professor he knew, and that professor had been doing some research and came back and said, well, I hate to break the news to you, but that variety of figs doesn't produce well in the area where you're at, where you planted it. So what do you think the farmer did with those trees? He's got 1,000 fig trees stuck in the ground, growing beautifully, looking healthy, leaves, growth, but not producing the fruit he needed. On his website, there is a picture of a pile of 500 trees cut down, ready to be burned. Why did Jesus share that parable of the fig trees? Do you know in our lives, there does come a point in time that Jesus says, I have a work I'm trying to accomplish, and I'm wanting to use these trees, us. And I planted you in different areas, and I'm looking for fruit. Are we producing the fruit he's looking for? You know, if you think about our time, our day we're living in, do you think now is a good time to be producing the fruits of the Spirit? Peace, joy, love. Do you think the Lord looks at the trees he has planted and said, you know, I really, really need some of this fruit. I need people to be able to go past these trees and to be able to eat some of this fruit, to see other things going on. So with that, I want to move into the next story. So now, the next set of scriptures is over in Mark. And this story actually occurs the last week that Jesus was on earth. It's a familiar story. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of that thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And then dropping on down to verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now, I read this one, this passage, there's another passage in particular, because it talks about how there was nothing but leaves because it wasn't the time of fruit. And it probably seems odd to us that Jesus, being the creator and maker of the universe, would not understand that it wasn't the time of fruit. So why did Jesus condemn this tree? Well, most fig trees are of a variety. They refer to them as common fig trees. They're different varieties, but they're just common fig trees. And they have something that they do. They produce what is often referred to as breba figs. I don't know if any of y'all have heard of those. So when a fig tree grows, it normally produces the next year's crop on new growth. So if you were to see a fig tree this spring and go look at it, you would see new shoots coming out, and the figs that it's going to produce as its main crops will be on those new shoots. However, on the old wood from last year, oftentimes these common fig trees will produce figs. These figs actually have started to form in the winter, and then when spring comes, they quickly ripen and show up. They're called breva figs. They normally show up in the spring. The main crop usually doesn't show up until summer on into the fall. So more than likely what Jesus was looking for when he went to that tree, it was springtime. When was Jesus crucified? This is the week before he was crucified. So he's walking down the road. He sees a tree off. It's probably a wild fig tree as far as we can tell. He sees it. Okay, I'll go see if it has any of the early figs. I know it's not the main season for figs, but I'll go see if it has an early fig. One thing that I also found out in reading up on this is when the breva figs are formed, if you go look at the tree and you happen to look at the new growth, you will see small 1 to 2 centimeter nodules that are the figs for the fall crop that are already starting to form. And if you read what it says here, it says Jesus found nothing but leaves. So here Jesus has gone along. He's went up to this tree looking to see if it has any early fruit. Now the breva figs are not something that most people that I've read and apparently looked at, they don't really count on them as a crop. They may or may not occur. The main crop is what you count on, but it sounds like when Jesus went to see if there was any of these early figs, as he's looking at the tree, he noticed there's not even the little nodules for the main crop coming in on the fall. This tree was worthless. This tree had no value. It literally was just taking up the ground. If you think about the parable of the sower, Luke 8:14 says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." What kind of tree are we? Have we considered that with Jesus, that there might be a time that he knows we're not ready to produce a full crop of fruit? But he's still looking to see, are we going to produce any? In this example, he went, there wasn't the early fruit. But it sounds like that wasn't the only reason why he cursed it. But he looked at it and said, you know what? I see you're not going to produce any fruit. You're just taking up space. You look well. You've leafed out nicely. I want to put it into perspective a bit of Christians in the world. So if that's a Christian in the world, and Christ walked by that Christian and said, okay, I'm going to go check to see how this Christian's doing. How's the fruit that should be available to anybody passing by on this route? And he goes and he checks that tree, that Christian. And there's no early fruit, but you know, he notices there's not even the hint of the fall crop. How does that make Christians or fig trees look? You're sitting there thinking, well, it looks good, but it has no fruit. Why is it here? What's the point? Have we ever thought our lives can be like that with the world around us? If we're not producing the fruit, some people will say, I don't understand. You dress like a Christian. You talk like a Christian. You do all the right things. You go to church every Sunday. You say you're praying for people. But I see no fruit on you. I don't see peace, love, joy, happiness. All I see is the same stuff I see on every other tree. How are you different? In our world today, how does it help when you read stories of Christians that the love of God just doesn't seem to be there? We need to be careful with those. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've noticed this starts off talking about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Do you realize that our ability to grow, to be a Christian, is through God's mercy? Didn't he back even in the time of Moses sometimes tell Moses, I am considering wiping this people out. I will create a new people. So if we want to be considered a good, acceptable tree, do you know what we need to be showing? And I find it interesting, it says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, but it didn't stop with just our bodies, did it? It said, and be not configured to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are we looking to truly say, I want to show the fruit from God? In Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes I think when we're planted and we're growing and we're putting leaves out, we forget that if we're not producing fruit, it is only the mercy of the Lord that he hasn't dug us up. That we haven't been uprooted, cut down, put on the burn pile. Sometimes I think we figure, well, Lord, I'm trying. I've got all these leaves. Was the Lord happy with a plant full of leaves? No, he wanted fruit. He says, you may look like a fig tree, and that's well and good. You should, if you're a fig tree, you should look like a fig tree. But I need a fig tree that produces fruits. I personally have never cared for the, I'm going to call them the ornamental cherry trees. Because to me, you put that many flowers out, I would like to see that many cherries. And I've never got into any of the ornamental plants that look like they're going to produce something edible and don't. To me, that's a waste of ground. I would just as soon get rid of it and put one down that produces fruit. And, you know, this is something that the Lord talks about. He's willing to work with us. You know, Lamentations there, it says, you know, his mercies, his compassions, they fail not. But do you think his compassions and his mercies last forever? Jeremiah 16 and 5. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. And then again in Isaiah 27 and 11. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. We see here, there comes a point in time, and it's at the Lord's discretion. He is God. But he will remove his mercy. He will say, this particular plant is of no value to me. And I will cut it off. I will cut it down. It is destined to go and be burned. So I would challenge us this morning, what is the fruit of our lives? What is it that comes out of us? You know, the Bible talks about it's not necessarily what goes into the man that defiles him. I mean, I don't know about you all, but if you read the news today, there's all kinds of stuff that goes into your brain that's not of God. But what comes out? What's coming out of your life? What would the world say? This is the fruit of that person's spirit. You know, the Bible makes many references to judging trees by the fruits. In fact, it says, by their fruit you shall know them. This is something that, saint or sinner, it doesn't matter. If you're producing fruit and somebody calls you that kind of tree, you know, it's probably best to go look at why you're producing that kind of fruit. But this is a theme that's repeated throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, about we need to be fruitful. And while God is merciful, He wants us to bear fruit. That is not something that He really looks as optional. So I would like to ask us a final couple of questions. Are we producing the fruit in our lives that God desires? Or are we just an unprofitable branch that's destined to be thrown into the fire? Or as it said elsewhere, an unprofitable servant destined for the darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. I would challenge all of us today, consider carefully, look at your life. See if the fruit that's being produced is pleasing to the Lord. Ask Him. He's willing to work with us. But if we insist that we're doing fine, we may just find ourselves cut off. Y'all pray for me.